Wednesday, July 8th, 1942. Dearest Kitty, it seems like years since Sunday morning. So much has happened, it's as if the whole world has suddenly turned upside down. But as you can see, Kitty, I'm still alive, and that's the main thing. Father says, I'm alive all right, but don't ask where or how. You probably don't understand a word I'm saying today, so I'll begin by telling you what happened Sunday afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Halo had left but was supposed to come back later. The doorbell rang. I didn't hear it since I was out on the balcony lazily reading in the sun. A little while later, Margot appeared in the kitchen doorway looking very agitated. Father has received a call-up notice from the SS, she whispered. Mother has gone to see Mr. Van Dan. Mr. Van Dan is Father's business partner and a good friend. I was stunned. A call-up? Everyone knows what that means. Visions of concentration camps and lonely cells raced through my head. How could we let Father go to such a fate? Of course he's not going, declared Margot as we waited for Mother in the living room. Mother's gone to Mr. Van Dan to ask whether we can move to our hiding place tomorrow. The Van Dans are going with us. There will be 7 of us altogether. Silence. We couldn't speak. The thought of Father off visiting someone in the Jewish hospital and completely unaware of what was happening, the long wait for Mother, the heat, the suspense, all this reduced us to silence. Suddenly, the doorbell rang again. That's Halo, I said. Don't open the door, exclaimed Margot to stop me, but it wasn't necessary since we heard Mother and Mr. Van Dan downstairs talking to Halo, and then the two of them came inside and shut the door behind them. Every time the bell rang, either Margot or I had to tiptoe downstairs to see if it was Father, and we didn't let anyone else in. Margot and I were sent from the room, as Mr. Van Dan wanted to talk to Mother alone. When she and I were sitting in our bedroom, Margot told me that the call-up was not for Father, but for her. At this second shock, I began to cry. Margot is 16. Apparently, they want to send girls her age away on their own. But thank goodness she won't be going. Mother had said so herself, which must be what Father had meant when he talked to me about our going into hiding. Hiding. Where would we hide? In the city? In the country? In a house? In a shack? When? Where? How? These were questions I wasn't allowed to ask, but they still kept running through my mind. Margot and I started packing our most important belongings into a school bag. The first thing I stuck in was this diary, and then curlers, handkerchiefs, school books, a comb, and some old letters. Preoccupied by the thought of going into hiding, I stuck the craziest things in the bag, but I'm not sorry. Memories mean more to me than dresses. Father finally came home around 5 o'clock, and we called Mr. Kleiman to ask if he could come by that evening. Mr. Van Dan left and went to get Meep. Meep arrived and promised to return later that night, taking with her a bag full of shoes, dresses, jackets, underwear, and stockings. After that, it was quiet in our apartment. None of us felt like eating. It was still hot and everything was very strange. We had rented our big upstairs room to a Mr. Goldschmidt, a divorced man in his 30s who apparently had nothing to do that evening, since despite all our polite hints, he hung around until 10 o'clock. Meep and Jan Gies came at 11. Meep, who's worked for Father's company since 1933, has become a close friend, and so has her husband, Jan. Once again, shoes, stockings, books, and underwear disappeared into Meep's bag and Jan's deep pockets. At 11:30, they too disappeared. I was exhausted, and even though I knew it'd be my last night in my own bed, I fell asleep right away and didn't wake up until Mother called me at 5:30 the next morning. Fortunately, it wasn't as hot as Sunday. A warm rain fell throughout the day. The four of us were wrapped in so many layers of clothes it looked as if we were going off to spend the night in a refrigerator, and all that just so we could take more clothes with us. No Jew in our situation would dare leave the house with a suitcase full of clothes. I was wearing 2 undershirts, 3 pairs of underpants, a dress, and over that a skirt, a jacket, a raincoat, 2 pairs of stockings, heavy shoes, a cap, a scarf, and lots more. I was suffocating even before we left the house, but no one bothered to ask me how I felt. Margot stuffed her school bag with school books, went to get her bicycle, and with Meep leading the way, rode off into the great unknown. At any rate, that's how I thought of it, since I still didn't know where our hiding place was. At 7:30, we two closed the door behind us. Mortia, my cat, was the only living creature I said goodbye to. According to a note we left for Mr. Goldschmidt, she was to be taken to the neighbors who would give her a good home. The stripped beds, the breakfast things on the table, the pound of meat for the cat in the kitchen, all of these created the impression that we'd left in a hurry. But we weren't interested in impressions. We just wanted to get out of there, to get away and reach our destination in safety. Nothing else mattered. More tomorrow. Yours, Anne.